May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It may or may not surprise you to know that I was a naughty boy. At least, that's what my mother told me. I distinctly remember being chased around the house by my mother, who carried with her a red plastic tennis bat with which to offer some correction. Luckily, being fleet of foot, she never actually caught me. Or perhaps she never actually wanted to. I don't know which it was. But on one occasion, she said to me, "Every time you're naughty, Stephen, I get another grey hair." And so when I saw Granny with a full head of grey hair, I thought that Mum must have been really bad. But mums teach us many things. My mother taught me about the science of osmosis when she said, "Close your mouth and eat your dinner." She taught me about logic. Every time I asked her why I had to do something, she said, "Because I said so, that's why." But Mum also taught me about religion when she said, "You'd better pray that mark you just made comes out of the carpet." Bishop Stephen Cottrell recalled how in families, stories are often told about what different family members did in their childhood and how they behaved. He said that in his family, the story is often told about how he used to lose his temper, flying into an irrational rage at the drop of a hat. His mother, he said, also recalls how she used to deal with this, not by shouting at him, not by meeting his rage with yet more rage, but by loving him. "She would confront my anger," he says, "with a tenacious tranquility. She would hold me doggedly, containing the fury within me. I can still remember how this felt," he says, "the cool embrace of love, taming and conquering the frenzy. Her embrace absorbed my anger, but more than this, it was transformed. Not only am I loved, but now I love in return." To stray into the realm of anything which is gender-specific these days is to take a risk. But all of us have had or have a mother, and it is from the perspective of childhood that we can all understand our relationship to our mothers most readily. Mothers, like women generally, represent the gentle graces, gifts so needed in a world of combat and aggression. And that tender side of human beings surely represents the feminine side of the divine being. It is then a time to reflect on the tenderness of God. Being a mother calls for patience. The whole process of maternal nurture begins with a long wait. Each small step towards maturity and self-sufficiency is a cause for rejoicing. The wise mother knows the stages of development and never expects the impossible. She is able to put her own needs aside and meet the child where she is. Motherhood teaches the world, because through motherhood we learn that small people, and therefore big people, feel abandonment no matter how much they are cherished. My son Dominic, who now happily finds his way solo through some of the world's densest jungles, when he was a small boy, if you left him on his own in a room for 2 minutes, would run back into you saying, "You lost me, you lost me." Children can easily persuade themselves that they are unworthy of love. In motherhood, we discover the truth that gentleness can accomplish a lot more than harshness. Mothers therefore provide safety and reassurance, even when their confidence is unwarranted by external circumstances. Margaret Gunter wrote of how the instinct of a mother to repeat to her child in times of crisis the words of reassurance, "It's all right, it's all right," was a common message of comfort, but more than that, a metaphysical statement. "It's all right." Words probably spoken by mothers as Herod's soldiers searched the houses of Bethlehem for baby boys. Mothers in cattle trucks on the way to death camps. Mothers in all times and in all places kissing small hurts to make them well. It reminds us of a crucial passage from the mystic Julian of Norwich, to whom in the midst of her divine revelations, the good Lord said, "Everything is going to be all right." And on another, "You will see for yourself that every sort of thing will be all right. And thus we are to know that the least things will not be forgotten." Gunter again reminds us that in their instinctively murmured words of comfort, mothers do not deny the pain or uncertainty, even the terror of life. They simply remind the child and themselves that at the deepest level, it truly is all right. And if we believe with Julian that in spite of everything we experience, this is God's message, we need not say the words, we can embody them. This is a significant part of what it means to be a Christian, to be those who reflect the compassionate, comforting words and actions of God in a maternal way which says to the world, which reveals to the world, that in the end, because there is a God who loves us, all will indeed be well. Something which, as those who sense in our deepest being that God is real, constantly return to. Much more than a mere playground platitude, it is an evocation of the ultimate truth, because it accepts our vulnerability, the ills and evils of the world, but points beyond it to a time and place which is the culmination of God's journey with the human race, the place of permanent wholeness, well-being, and safety. In a world consistently rocked by personal and public violence, it is a message that I think is worth sharing. But where do we look for this tenderness of God in the scriptures? Is it not simply a romantic idyll with no basis in reality? The concept of a long-suffering God, infinite in compassion, is in fact the one that Jesus preached and taught. We find it in Isaiah's picture of the Good Shepherd who carries the lambs in his arms and gently leads those that are with young. It is a picture Jesus affirmed, an image that conveys profoundly the tenderness of God. But most of all, we see it when we look to Jesus on the cross and hear his words to his mother and to the disciple whom he loved through this simple pledging of Mary to John, the beloved disciple, and of him to Mary. The new commandment to love one another is placed directly in the vortex of death and self-offering. There we find the new community, the church, which Jesus summons into existence, begins with the love of a mother and a son, and extends to an all-embracing family through which we may experience the tenderness of God. God made known in the strength and vulnerability of birth, the joy and pain of motherhood, in nights of sleepless love, in demands without number and questions without answer. Give us gratitude for the women who carried us, for the carers who nurture us, and for the chance to pass on life to others through Jesus Christ, Mary's child. Amen.